Good morning, Mountain View.
Good morning.
Good morning. I want to point out to you a few of the announcements that are in the bulletin and also on the screen. First of all is our Holy Week worship schedule. Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday, March 29th, we'll have a service here at 7 o'clock with communion. Good Friday is a community service at Grace Lutheran Church with a 6 o'clock potluck and a 7 o'clock service, and that's at 1001 13th Street. And Easter Sunday we'll have 9 o'clock and 10:30 services with an Easter egg hunt for children after the 10:30 service. We're collecting for two needy causes. We're collecting for refugees that are in the Denver area, gently used and new bedding, such as twin and full sheets, new pillows and disposable diapers to help families escaping dire circumstances. There are decorated boxes in the narthex. And UMCOR Relief for Montana United Methodist Church, the Blackfeet United Methodist Parish, has experienced 40 feet of snow. You may make a donation in the offering or online, and the web address is in your bulletin. Just write Blackfeet on your check, and it will get to the right place. Also, Katie Hughes, who's a member of Mountain View United Methodist Church, is presenting a brief piano recital on Saturday, March 31st at 1 o'clock. Katie is a third-year piano performance major at UNC Greeley. Thank you, and I'll turn it over to Pastor Steve.
Good morning, Mountain View. Do we have anybody here for the very first time? We want to recognize you. We have a small gift of popcorn. And if you're here for the very first time, we have somebody up there. Pastor Sarah will share that with you. You will find available to you this insert or flyer. This tells you all the services for Easter this Holy Week. But it's also an opportunity, because it's a physical form, to take to a neighbor or friend and say, will you come with me to one of these services this week? They're available from our ushers, and I encourage you to consider this opportunity to participate in the life of our church. So if you would stand and greet one another with a handshake and a Palm Sunday greeting.
And if you would please join me in our congregational introit. There's our pitch. And bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life. Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads. love.
Join me in the call to worship. Come, people of God, take refuge in the Lord, who listens when we cry out, who rescues us when we call, and who leads and guides us according to his unfailing love. You are our God. Our lives are in your hands. Let's worship God together.
The church would come forward. Thank you, children, for leading us. Hosanna to you. Hosanna. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Good morning. Good morning on this Palm Sunday. Have you ever wanted something just really, really badly? You've wanted something. What's something that you've wanted really, really badly? Yes.
I wanted a Nintendo.
He wanted a Nintendo. Okay. A Switch. Okay. What have you wanted really, really badly? Okay. Well, I can remember when I was in fourth grade really wanting very badly for supper time to come because I was pretty hungry, growing pretty fast. What about you, Annie? Have you wanted something really, really badly? You wanted your birthday to come. Oh, that's a good example. Yes, dear. Have you wanted something really, really badly? Okay, you had something and it flew away. All right, so all of us, I bet every single one of us have wanted something really, really badly and then had to compromise, had to cooperate, right? Right? I remember our children really, really wanting to go to the lake for vacation. We have a lot of fond memories of going to the lake for vacation. But we just couldn't go every single year. So they had to compromise. What does that word mean? What does it mean when your brother wants one thing and you want another? Yeah. Okay. So somebody wants in the family wants to go one place, and other people in the family want to go the other place, and so you go half a day at each place, right? That's right. You make a shared decision. Does that run in the face of, is it difficult to have both those things happen? How does it feel when you have to compromise? What does it feel like? You have this dream, I really, really want. But now I have to share. Is that hard? Yeah, pretty hard, right? Right, you have to wait. Well, we're talking today about compromise. We're talking about humility, which is a big word that talks about wanting something really, really badly, but then finding another path. Okay, maybe half a day this and half a day that. And I just know that's really hard for some of us. Maybe it's hard for you. But we all do this together. We ask God to help us when we need to compromise. Okay? And be patient with each other. Can we pray together? Would you pray with us? Okay. Dear God, on Palm Sunday, we remember Jesus and all the things we want for him. We know what happens through Holy Week, and we come to Easter soon enough. Thank you, God, for being with us in the journey. Amen. God bless you, children. I look forward to hearing great stories about your Sunday school time, right? Miss Larissa's right there if you would like to do that. What a privilege it is to be together in worship this morning and be able to share in the excitement of the children, the opportunities to celebrate one of my favorite Christian observances in Palm Sunday. Humility is our theme today. Joys and concerns, what have you been praying about? Where have you seen God active in your life? Yes, Sue. Prayers for our community as we struggle with issues around school safety. And three of the family have strep throat, so prayers for healing. Others, remind me not to kiss any of you people. Joys and concerns? Yes. Prayers for those who are participating in the political system.
But what was occurring was only young people.
Yes.
Were there. It's usually people over 70.
Right.
This time we're actually people who are 20s and 30s. And 690 people show up.
Prayers of support for those participating in the political process. Good. Yes, sir.
Well, we have a celebration of God's healing way. Nicholas was sick as a dog on Thursday. And on Saturday, he took first in his age and division for the state gymnastics meet, Colorado State Gymnastics meet, took first.
Wow. Wow, it's a miracle. It's an Easter miracle. He was sick, but took first for gymnastics. God bless you. God bless you for healing. Who has noticed new bird sounds? Have you heard, noticed some new birds singing? Good for you. Keep, yes, I will. Keep your ears peeled, right? Lydia hears them really early in the morning, she says. Yes, Pua.
Yes, we had a bird convention in our backyard.
A bird convention. All right. Good, good. And spring break this week. Chance to rest and recover. Yes.
That too. I have a friend who had ankle surgery a while back, and it's just not healing.
Prayers for a friend whose ankle surgery is just not healing.
And my niece's husband had his gallbladder out a week ago, and he's still running a fever.
A nephew by marriage who's recovering from gallbladder surgery. All right. There are, yes.
Mm-hmm. Our family would covet prayers for Mac's back. It was a pretty debilitating last 72 hours, and he's been having trouble walking to that extent. So prayers of healing, back issues are so random.
Yes, prayers for Mac. His back is ailing him, and he's in a lot of pain. So prayers for relief from pain. Thank you. Right. Yes. Yes, one of our members, Katie, is doing she's on tour, so to speak, as a junior piano recital person, and she's coming here to Mountain View. I think those details are for us in the bulletin. All right. Do you feel ready to pray? All right. I'd like to ask to have you simply hold your palm up. Hold your palms up as you pray this morning. First in silence and then together.
Actual palms.
With our palm up, Lord God, we experience the weight of our cares, the worries that won't resolve, the pains that cannot be healed. Seemingly, Lord, we are weighed down to such a degree that we can scarcely keep our thoughts together. Lack of sleep and loneliness and fear keep us prisoners of these thoughts, and we have a trouble letting them go. This morning, with open palm, we release those cares to you. Oh, we may take them back again, but for this moment in time, we trust that you will lift the burdens that we cannot bear, dry the tears that we cannot stop crying, and let us express our love for you as a release of our cares. Insofar as we've been able to release things, Lord God, to you, we have opportunity to take up. And so our open palm is a chance to feel joy, to experience hope, to walk in humility and patience these days of Holy Week, for time of reflection, brooding, and worry are things of the past. For our hope is in a great God, and our promise is through your Son, Jesus. We, your people, praise you, God, and pray for healing and hope again, for love and forgiveness, for a way to embrace our humility and find compromise, which strengthens the whole. We pray for our enemies, Lord God. We pray for those who mistreat us and misuse us. We pray for your Holy Spirit to lift us, to guide us, to encourage us, as we would encourage each other in Jesus' name. He taught his disciples to pray this prayer: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we go into our centering hymn, I want you to be aware that the words are from page 168, but the tune is not. So if you are a person who follows the hymnal, you will be confused. So I invite you to just sing the words. The melody is quite simple, and Sue will lead us well. So I invite you to stand now as we sing together. May be seated. I'll invite the ushers to come forward, and as we prepare ourselves for offering, know that you are preparing all of yourself, the gifts that you can offer into the plate and offer to God each and every day.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
and gracious God, thank you for the ability to give what we can. We ask that you give us hearts of humility, that these gifts might be used in your abundant and incredible way. We give you the thanks for all that you do in and through us, and through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Will you please join me in the scriptural meditation? May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The scripture this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. If you find any comfort from being in the anointed, if his love brings you some encouragement, if you experience true companionship with the Spirit, if his tenderness and mercy fill your heart, then, brothers and sisters, here is one thing that would complete my joy. Come together as one in mind and spirit and purpose, sharing the same love. Don't let selfishness and prideful agendas take over. Embrace true humility and lift your heads to extend love to others. Get beyond yourselves in protecting your own interests. Be sincere and secure your neighbor's interests first. In other words, adopt the mindset of Jesus the Anointed. Live with his attitude in your hearts. Remember, though he was in the form of God, he chose not to cling to equality with God, but he poured himself out to fill a vessel brand new, a servant in form and a man indeed. The very likeness of humanity. He humbled himself, obedient to death, a merciless death on the cross. So God raised him up to the highest place and gave him the name above all. So when his name is called, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and below, and every tongue will confess, Jesus, the Anointed One, is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. The word of God for the people of God.
I hear your hollow laughter, your sighs of secret pain, pretending and inventing just to hide your shame. Plastic smiles and faces blinking back the tears. Empty friends and places all magnify your fears. If you're tired and weary, weak and heavy laden, I can understand how it feels to be alone. I will take your burden if you let me love you, wrap my arms around you, give your heart a home. It hurts to watch you struggle and try so hard to win, betray your precious birthright for candy-coated sin, wasting priceless moments, restless and confused, building up defenses for fear that you'll be used. If you're tired and weary, weak and heavy laden, I can understand how feels to be alone. I will take your burden If you let me love you, wrap my arms around you, give your heart a home. Take my yoke upon you and walk here by my side. Let me heal your heartaches and dry the tears you cry. Never will I leave you, never turn away. I'll keep you through the darkness, lead you through the day. If you're tired and weary, weak and heavy laden, I can understand how it feels to be alone. I will take your burden if you let me love you. Wrap my arms around you, give your heart a home. Wrap my arms around you, give your heart a home. Thank
you, Steve. Well, happy Palm Sunday. Everyone give it a big wave. I mean, how often do you get to let leaves dance, right, for celebration? So, you know, this does represent the fact that this is a participatory service. And so I'm going to have a few opportunities during my sermon for you to connect with a neighbor. It could be someone that you like and you came with, or someone that you didn't and you want to know them a little bit more. So those will be invitations throughout. It has been quite a journey for Lent as we've dived into the topic of vulnerability, a concept to examine, consider as a strength for our lives, and also a new lens to give us courage in order to be authentic and free. We've seen vulnerability as we encounter it in our resistance to God's healing, in the challenges of mental illness, with the attitude of leaning into suffering, trusting God's love will lead us to deeper places of service and relationship. We've seen vulnerability in the divine gift of life to be cherished, and into the practice of reframing our situations to allow healing and new life. We've covered a lot. And so since we have covered so much, and it's important, I want to give you an opportunity to talk with a neighbor about one thing that you have learned or that has surprised you about vulnerability. Perhaps you've heard it in these last 5 weeks. Perhaps you've known it for a long time. But share with a neighbor where you are being surprised by vulnerability. Thank you for engaging. This might be the catalyst for a conversation you have at lunch later on. So, There's a lot to consider with vulnerability, the many forms it takes, the many attitudes it suggests, the many results of setting into such a way of being in life. And I'm always surprised at the strength and resiliency, both required but then gained back, oftentimes doubly or tenfold. And this way of moving in the world is powerful, and there's no better example than Jesus. Despite being only a week away from Easter, I can still recall the story of Christmas pretty vividly. Maybe you can too. It's the tender, fragile moment when God came as a baby to dwell among us. Here, the vulnerability begins, as it takes on the form, the power, the limitation, the potential, and the humility of being human. As I consider this incredible reality of God becoming a humble human, the words of Rabbi Harold Kushner help give me an insight into who we are and how we experience this reality of humanity. Rabbi Kushner is the author of the book, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People?, which is an insightful read, but it also gives words to the basic idea of humanity, and he offers that humans are complex. Humans are complex, and such complexity holds a lot of room for us to both experience the pains and sufferings of life alongside joys and thanksgiving. It is in this complexity that resides the capacity and necessity for holding paradox. I experience paradox in my house every day because Lydia is nearly 2 and is an independent woman, you know? She can brush her teeth, feed herself, run all over the place, and yet is so utterly dependent. It is a paradox of my world. And I think all of us experience paradox in some capacity, whether it's in a personal, familial kind of way, or maybe at a community or national level. And so I think in order to claim our humanity, it's important to name the paradoxes we see. So this is another participatory moment where you can share with a neighbor what paradox you currently find yourself in. So as you continue to finish your conversations, what are you hearing from one another? What are some of the paradoxes that you encounter in your life? Feel free to shout them out. What are the paradoxes that you encounter? I know you said something because it was a rowdy bunch out here. Anyone want to share out loud?
Being tired but not stopping.
Being tired but not stopping. Yep. Feeling hope and also family illness. Any others? I'm struck by what the March of Lives, March for Our Lives represented of this idea of vulnerable people speaking to power and power being asked to be vulnerable, and yet how do we hold all of the complexities that are within that conversation? Paradox is is what we face. We come face to face with on Palm Sunday, because here we are waving our palms with great praise and worship, great excitement as Jesus makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And yet at the same time, Jesus comes on a donkey, weeping for his city and weeping tears, things that he will shed alongside the blood that he will pour out on as he gives his life on Good Friday. It's the paradox of humility lived out as the expression of power. I tried to picture this scene, put myself in the moment to really grasp what maybe were the attitudes and thoughts of the people and in that moment. I imagined myself waving palms like the rest of the people. I believed in this teacher, this healer, as he came forward into the city. He's powerful, and I want that power to shine through. And if I was honest, I'd have to say that I also want him to, at some point, take a grand position. You know, I know the lowly might not be able to rise up as easily, so couldn't he? Isn't he supposed to be the one who comes before? I appreciate that he likes to be one with the people, but I wonder if it's really changing our situation and setting us free. I want his risk. I love that he snubs authority, but I want his time to be worth something. And so wouldn't it be better for myself and my neighbor if he just got rid of all the big obstacles and the bullies in our lives, the oppressive systems and rulers, the overbearing taxes, the occupiers of our land, the ever-demanding strain on our resources? Isn't it time for big, bold action? I can imagine feeling that way as I'm waving palms and greeting him as he comes into the city. And maybe it's just me, but sometimes big, bold action seems like the right thing. It's pretty unignorable, right? But how many times have we considered big, bold actions in our families or in our workplaces, our communities, or even our church as the way in which real change will take hold and we'll see a tangible difference? That causes me to ponder and rest for a second. And as I do, I find myself taking another spot. I take the spot maybe on the back of the donkey with Jesus. I can't begin to imagine exactly what Jesus was thinking, but being in that space, being in that place, gives me a new awareness and a new focus. Jesus rides a donkey. He receives the praises due to God and reminds those that think that such worship is unsavory and blasphemous that the very earth has such shouts in it. Even the stones recognize the holy, the beautiful, the way. Then Jesus weeps for Jerusalem. He foresees it literally torn apart by occupying rulers, but has known the torn heart of its people who are unable to see God or even consider unity and freedom offered in the purpose of love. He weeps that the purpose of power, position, control, and righteous obedience have transfigured the heart away from the love of the Lord our God and God's creation. Jesus knows his place on the donkey. He's with the people while also illustrating that such a humble place is the way of mutual love and blessing, freedom, and relationship. It is this reality that Jesus lived with God and the Holy Spirit for all of eternity. For while these three remained equal in giving and receiving from each other, they did so by continually opening up to give away and emptying out to be filled again. So pouring himself out into another vessel came from the eternal practice of emptying and pouring out. This time, he poured himself into the new form of human. Here we have a paradox. The two perspectives, those on the road wanting a great ruler and Jesus, the multiple desires and conflicting wants, and the lived realities. Jesus' humanity led him to humility, a mission of suffering with and for others. Often I see our humanity leading to power grabbing, claiming above and apart from others. It's a strange comparison and a challenging repositioning into paradox and vulnerability. Palm branches have a way of taking us back to that moment, and they can, where we can experience Jesus and the people on the road and the shouts. But I have to admit, I long for a scene, a very similar scene today, a life of paradox that gives me the same inspiration and courage and challenge for today as Jesus gave his disciples. I found it recently in an insurance ad from Thailand. It's a strange but beautiful depiction of living a life of both and that I want to offer you this morning. Education.
เขาจะได้อะไร
What does he get in return for doing this every day? There you are.He gets nothing. He won't be richer. Won't appear on TV. Still anonymous. What he does receive are emotions.
ความรู้สึก ได้เห็นความสุข
He witnesses happiness.
ได้เข้าใจ
He reaches a deeper understanding.
ได้ความรัก
Feels the love.
ได้ในสิ่งที่เงินซื้อไม่ได
้ receives what money can't buy
ได้โลกที่สวยงามกว่าเดิม ในชีวิตคุณ
and in your life
อะไรคือสิ่งที่คุณต้องการมากที่สุด
what is it that you desire most Here we see humility at work in the most unreasonable and extravagant and unsustainable and unwise expressions in order to combat the largest problems of poverty, hunger, loneliness, and even death. And these complex problems require continual investment and humility, sacrifice and faith. Many people didn't see the value or potential, and yet,All that was broken found new life and wholeness through humility of relationship. The man connected himself with other people, with God's creation and plants and animals, and with God. The man didn't come up with a big, bold plan to change the situation, but the vulnerable presence of himself each day. A unity was formed. A power was brought forth. Life was made new. Christ's humility in claiming his own humanity leads to this unity for us with God, with each other, with creation, and with ourselves. It is the unity experienced in the Trinity that Jesus longs for, that he prays for, that he shows ways toward throughout his life and even in his death. In Philippians, Paul proposes a way of humility, not because it's easy or quick, or done anonymously or autonomously, or even because it's big, bold, and brassy. He offers the mindset and attitude of Christ because even in our complexity as humans, we are nudged and even changed by being one with God, knowing love as one who belongs, experiencing companionship with the Holy Spirit, and being filled by mercy and tenderness. And this is the way of emptying ourselves and moving toward the cross. I have one last moment for you to reflect. You can do so with one another or individually. But I want you to consider the question, what does it look like for you to be humble this week in your life? This humility will likely exist within relationships. What does it look like for you to be humble this week in your life? I've had a chance to think about this question since it's my own. And I believe that my humility will come through a new attitude of mornings at my house. I love my sleep, but I'm not quite as disciplined to go to bed 12 hours ahead of time like Lydia does. So instead of myself resenting her for waking up at her 7:30 hour, as she always does, or for resenting my husband for not getting her at her first cry, or resenting Netflix for having such great programs that I'm compelled to watch the second episode, or resenting my bladder for not being big enough. I want to have humility of daily living with myself and my family and God. I want to claim that tenderness and mercy. I want to realize that there is a paradox of sleep deprivation and gleeful toddlers. We'll make it together. This week is a unique week to consider your humanity and the paradoxes you experience. It is also helpful to hold the learnings of vulnerability that are deep within you. It is in and through this reflection that you will truly be in step with, in unity with Jesus as he makes his way to the cross. I invite all of us into this journey of solidarity with humility. Such a commitment will truly capture the paradox of Easter and the celebration to come. Amen. I invite you now to stand as we sing our closing hymn, Be Still My Soul.
Thank you.
Beloved people of God, go this week in solidarity of humility. Go with your humanity, your paradoxes, and your vulnerability. Go with Jesus this week. Amen.
Choir room about 10:10 on Wednesday.